Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Welcome back, my self-loving friends. We have an awesome episode for you today talking about life coaching, how to have an incredibly mindful morning, and what it's like to be in a relationship with someone that doesn't love themselves. We also talk about the future, how we believe schools will teach psychology and mindfulness and kind of potentially having life coaching in a younger age of school. Sounds freaking cool. All right, enjoy the episode with my good friend Katie.
Hello.
Wow. It's record podcast from across the globe.
Oh my God. I'm your first international interviewee.
Yeah, this is crazy. Who knew that we had technology such as this?
Oh my goodness. Best time to be alive.
Wow. Well, we are joined with Katie Arrington today.
Yay.
Wow. Hey, tell us about yourself. Give us a little intro.
Okay, sure. So I went to school with Seth. We went to a video game school, college. And so I was in the art route. And so I'm a digital artist and I'm also a life coach. So I'm just super passionate about all things self-improvement, personal development. And on my Instagram, I share my artwork, but I also share a lot about art coaching and how to help people through their art mental blockages. And I also have a YouTube channel where I post art coaching videos and life coaching videos. So that's me.
It's so good. So good.
Yeah.
I've been watching some of the videos, and I never thought of combining the two of just
me too.
this specific thing where it's if you're an artist, you'll enjoy this, and if you need life coaching, you'll also enjoy this.
Yeah, I got kind of lucky with that, I think, but it's because I found the life coaching stuff, and I found a way to help me with my art. And so I was there's got to be other artists who struggle with the same thing. So
yeah,
I just tried to share that stuff and I'm getting pretty good responses so far.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Man, yeah. I want to dive into the life coaching stuff right away almost, but gotta ask the first question first, the big one, which is when did you realize that you had to love yourself?
Okay. So I think the first time I really realized that was in my first school. So DigiPen was actually my second school. I transferred from a different school in New York City. And so when I graduated from high school and moved to New York City, that's when I really discovered how kind of bad my social anxiety was. I didn't make a single friend for 2 years while I was in New York City. Wow. Yeah, it was quite lonely. And I was in a long distance relationship at the time. So I just got way too enmeshed, in that relationship. Mm-hmm. I just just always turned to him anytime I felt sad, alone. I didn't reach out to people at all. And I was pushing away a lot of old friends too, because I didn't want them to know that I was not doing so well. I didn't want them to ask me how I was doing, Yeah. And so it wasn't around that time that I was okay, something is wrong. this is not
this
okay.
This cannot go on.
Yeah. So that's when I think I first started Googling what is going on? Why is this so bad? Because I was really lucky in high school. I grew up with friends, and it's like I've always felt like, you know, I had a really good group of friends throughout high school. I really didn't realize I had like this kind of anxiety problem with people. And then when I moved to college, that's when it was like, it kind of hit me like a truck. I was like, I really didn't understand what was going on. But yeah, so that's when I first found like blogs, right, that say like, oh, how to be confident, you need to love yourself. And I was like, okay, how the fuck do you do that? And
yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, and so pretty much I was tormented with how to do that until like the beginning of this year. I really had no idea what that meant for a very long time. But wow. Yeah. That's when I first realized, yeah, that I'm missing this thing.
Yeah, so the blogs were like kind of your intro to it. But then when did you start to feel like you were like starting to grab a hold of something?
Yeah, it was definitely this year when I I just found work that I think like somebody's way of teaching that really worked for me. Like she just really broke it down in steps that made a lot of sense to me. And so, like it wasn't vague, you know, like a lot of these blogs, I feel like, maybe some people will be able to read that and understand, but for me, like I just had like no emotional education that when I read that, I really didn't know what that meant. And so like, it was too vague, you know, like love yourself, accept yourself. I didn't understand that at all. I was like, wait, so am I supposed to accept that I hate myself? What?
That doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. Like, okay. Anyway, but then I found this woman's work who just like, again, I told you before that it's like very practical. Yes. It was very like, it was easy to follow. It was easy to apply to my own mind. And so I've been doing a lot of that. And I think that to me was like my first step into self-love, because like, I'm like putting a lot of effort, into working on my mind kind of thing. You know, like I have a routine, every morning that like kind of sets me up well for the day. That puts me in a good headspace. And that is really the most self-caring thing I think I've ever done, was like start to pick up that habit of like taking care of myself. Yeah.
Tell us about the routine.
Okay. It's kind of elaborate. So
great.
So if anyone like wants to start a routine or like start a habit, definitely do not do this immediately. Like start slow, start with like one or two. But I have a pretty elaborate, routine. So, okay. So first thing in the morning is I exercise of some kind for at least 40 minutes. So either run or I like use my dad's rowing machine in front of the TV. But something to take care of my body. Then after getting dressed. Okay. So first thing I do is, so I just added this recently with my life coach. Like I'll take things in or out depending on how, like where I am, you know? And, but so the first thing I do is I write 10 ways that I'm abundant in life. So like 10 ways that like I have more than I need. And then the second thing I do is this thing that I found on a podcast. It's called shadow work, where pretty much I visualize the version of myself that I've like hidden away. Or like tried to like suppress because I'm afraid that like we're unlovable, that there's like something wrong with like her, right? And which explains a lot of the reason why I have so little self-trust. And so this visualization work of like imagining this version of me that I like tuck away, it's like me trying to like gain self-trust. Like I just pretty much say hi to her every day. That's it. Mm-hmm. I just every day, she knows that I am going to come back. And that has like helped a lot. And then next thing I do is I write an affirmation 15 times on a piece of paper. And then I visualize that affirmation. And then I do this thing called a thought download, which is pretty much a stream of consciousness writing. And I pretty much just, it's just like, I take a look at what my kind of like the kind of thoughts I'm having, because that really like shows the kind of feelings I'm having. And
yeah.
So I look at my thoughts for the day. And if I'm coming up with a blank, usually I'll be like, okay, what am I thinking about work today? Or what am I thinking about just some topic that I've been kind of like having on my mind? And so yeah. I kind of discover like what I'm feeling around all this. Like it's not vague anymore, right? Like I really see my thoughts. And then I do this thing called a model, which is okay, are you ready? This is elaborate. I hope you're enjoying this.
I'm absolutely enjoying this. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Okay, great. Okay, so this model, this is what I learned from that life coach school that I told you about. Mm-hmm. So Brooke Castillo, she created this thing called the model, which is pretty much like we all have circumstances in our life that we can't control. And that's pretty much like anything in our past, anything like other people, the weather, right? Like it's just, and those are always neutral and like always neutral. So we have a circumstance and then that circumstance, we have a thought about it. So a circumstance creates a thought and then our thoughts create our feelings. And then our feelings drive our actions, which then ultimately creates our results in our life. And this was pretty mind-blowing to me because, like, I really didn't understand why I was having the results that I was having in my life. Like, there were so many things I was so unhappy with, but yet I was, like, doing them anyway, or I was, like, finding myself in these positions that I was like, what am I doing here? And so like, and she says that she didn't make this up. It's more like, this is kind of a universal thing, right? But she kind of just like set it up in this way where like any problem that we have in our life is one of those five things. It's either a circumstance, a thought, a feeling, action, or result. So,
okay.
Yeah. So then like with that stream of consciousness writing that I did, I'll find a thought that I'm like, ooh, this thought is like clearly not helping me. And so like, I'll put that in the model. I'll put that in the thought line. And then I go through it. I'll be like, okay, I have this thought. For example, I'll just pick one, like something is wrong with me, right? That's a really broad one. But let's say I have this thought that I like something is wrong with me. That creates a feeling of shame in me. And the actions that I take when I'm feeling shame is that I hide, I don't talk to people. I push people away. I act weird. Like I'm just, yeah, like I'm not being my best self. And the result is that I create further evidence that there's something wrong with me. So, So we know that you're doing the model right whenever your thought, like the result is like proven with your thought. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Does that make sense? Like,
totally.
Like you're always proving the thought that you have.
Yes.
With your actions. Oh, sorry.
Wow. This vicious cycle.
Yeah. So after this stream of consciousness writing, I do two models. The first model is the one that I'm like, oh shit, something's wrong with me. And I go through that and it helps me see like, okay, continuing to think this thought is really not helping me in my life.
Yes.
So then kind of like in Shaw's episode about her saying like she deletes a negative thought and rewrite it.
Yeah.
So I'll do another model and I'll think of another thought to write instead. So maybe I'm not yet. Yeah. And then so let's say instead of like something is wrong with me, I do another model with like, I'm human, right? I'm a human person. And then when like with that feeling, I feel free or like I feel neutral. And when then I find the actions and the action is like, oh, I go about my day. Things are fine or whatever. And so the result is I'm a human, you know, and you can put pretty much like anything in that thought line and pretty much create the results in your life that you actually want.
Cool.
Yeah. So like, and then after the model, cause so that just helps prime me up, right? Like I might wake up thinking these horrible thoughts, but then like I use this system to help me get into a new headspace that's much nicer. This is really helpful for work, especially if I'm thinking things like, I don't have enough time in the day. And then when you put that in the model, you usually prove to yourself that like you don't have enough time. You end up procrastinating, you end up doing things that actually waste time. Whereas if you like make a thought like, I have plenty of time, or there's so much time in the day, that makes me feel really motivated and excited. And my actions is like, I'm just doing, I'm moving really fast. And the result is I have so much time. After all of that, then I read for an hour. I read it like a personal development book or a business book of some kind. And then I do an hour of personal work, like full indulgence of like art that I really like it's completely for me kind of thing. So pretty much that's about 1 hour towards physical health. And then that's 2 to 3 hours towards mental health care every day for me. And it's pretty elaborate, but like,
that's super elaborate. Really good. That's
I
a great
love
morning.
My mornings though. Yeah. I wake up looking forward to my mornings, and I really feel like that was like one of the most self-loving thing I've ever done for myself.
Yeah. Having a morning. That's that is something that I just don't really do. That's amazing.
I know it's kind of, it's intense. I know I had a lot of problems with it in the beginning, 'cause I kept thinking like, no, I need to work. Like I can't, you know, I can't put this much time towards like doing all of this stuff. But like, dude, it makes such a difference in your mental state, and you just get like such a better day when you take care of your mental health, you know, like, it makes such a huge difference in your work. Like it's so worth it. Yeah.
What have been some of the best books that you've been reading for this?
Well, I've only started getting back into reading, so I haven't read that many books. Like I haven't gone through that many. But I think the best book so far that I've read is called Mindset by Carol Dweck. Have you heard of it?
Oh my gosh. I heard you listening to it on the podcast. This is Mindset, the growth mindset.
Yes,
stuff, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Which is my favorite.
It's so good. Oh my God.
It's so good. Break it down for us.
Yes, of course. Okay. So pretty much, so this a woman, this doctor, Carol Dweck, she started off like wanting to learn about failure, like how people respond to failure. And she ran into some kids that she was working with in these studies. And like, she gave this kid a really hard task because she wanted him to fail and she wanted to see how he would react. Right. But instead this kid was like, oh yes, I love a challenge. And she was like, wait a second, what? like what's wrong with this kid? Like what's going on with him? And so that's how she started realizing or seeing that there's essentially two mindsets at play for most people. There's one is the fixed mindset, which is pretty much you completely believe that your potential is already defined at birth, that you are either attractive or you're not. You're either funny or you're not. Like it's completely binary and you can't get better. It's just like defined. And then there's the other mindset called the growth mindset, where you believe that any ability, any personality trait, anything can be developed. And with hard work, with experimentation, with practice, you know, you can get better at anything. And in fact, they think failure is a good thing. Whereas fixed mindset people see failure as like, oh man, this like means something about me as a person. And they take it very poorly in comparison to growth mindset people. And she saw that like fixed mindset people can find success as well, but growth mindset people kind of like reach like some crazy levels of success, and they're also much happier people in the end.
That's a game changing way of thinking.
I know.
Like I know, I think I started it, used to fall into fixed mindset. I don't know when it changed. But just like realizing like, oh, you can like keep learning new skills. Like I thought it was like almost like you had to be in school to learn things or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can grow
Yeah.
yourself.
Yeah. I was so in the fixed mindset, like 100%.
Yeah.
And it's so enlightening. And I love that they say that like smart is not you're not smart or not smart. It's like you're smart if you love learning. And
Yeah,
that's really
true.
cool. I
Yeah.
love that. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Because that's what, oh my gosh, that is really good. Where do you think, like, for a lot of people, like, why is there this thing that a lot of people have trouble doing this? Even though, like, you would think you're born, you're human, and you just want to do stuff and you want to be your best. But, like, why in society right now is this a tough thing?
Yeah. Oh man, I think I have a theory that because when we're kids, right, when we're born, we I guess since we don't maybe fully understand language yet, we don't understand like people yet, we just have this like innate need to learn, right? Like we try and walk, and if we fall, we get back up again. Like we're not like marred by that failure of falling, and we never try to walk again. But then I think we reach a certain age where we kind of start to understand or like think that like, oh, there's certain things that we need to do in order to gain the love of our parents. And yeah, so like when our parents praise us saying like, oh wow, you're so smart because you got an A and you didn't even try that hard, we think, oh, okay, so that means like in order to get praise and love from my parents, like I have to do things effortlessly. Like I have to be just a genius or whatever. And like and most parents praise like, you know, smartness rather than effort, right? It's just I'm not sure where that's from. Like it's just I think a human fascination to like geniuses. Yeah, but yeah, so I think we like went go from this like super growth mindset as babies, and then we start to learn like, oh, it seems like the fixed mindset is like where it's safe, where I can get love. And so we kind of and then we stay stuck there for a while. Yeah.
Wow. And then it just starts to show more and more, like become more and more of a problem over time.
Right.
That's so
So
interesting.
I know it's so sad, like, or not sad, but it's like parents definitely mean well, right? Like
Oh,
parents
yeah.
are just kids be having kids. So that's why I feel so lucky that we're a generation that has a book like this to read, you
Yes.
know? Ugh,
Totally.
super lucky.
Weird. Do you think, why do these self-care or like self-love topics why do you think it's not discussed during these times of like growth? Say like you're saying like with babies there's growth mindset and then you slowly move into the fixed mindset. Like in school, were you ever taught like any type of mindfulness like growing up?
No way. Did you?
No, not
Yeah.
really. I remember maybe in like fifth grade, there was something mentioned about the idea of anxiety. And then I think same in maybe the very beginning of high school. Talking about there was like maybe one day talking about just general mental health stuff, but like none of it, like there was none of it. I don't think I was
Yeah.
super aware of just what even anxiety
Yeah.
was.
Yeah.
because I think growing up, like there was this moment in high school for me where I noticed that I was like, I had my like core friends and stuff that I'd always, had or that, slowly been adding to the group. And I saw this like, oh, so you could be like a really social person, like very easily or something like that. And I just like mentally just made the switch of, oh, well now you can just, I mean,
Oh,
just be friends with everyone. It's like
that's awesome.
you've been able to do that, kind of since you were young. But now you can just take it to whatever level you want. And I was like, oh, okay, great.
And you were
So
just
it's
able
like,
to like internalize that?
yeah.
Cool.
And so that slowly just made like social anxiety go away.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I'm so
Yeah.
jealous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, obviously, there was still growing that happened in like college and post college, but it was like weird that like this base level, oh, it's like okay to be like sociable. Like it was just truly mindset change. But yeah, what do you think would be like the most helpful like type of class for this? Like I feel like there should like a
Oh
class would be
man.
so helpful, like
Oh man.
starting in
High school,
gosh,
at
just like
least?
middle school or like elementary
Yeah.
school, just like every
Dude.
single type
Yes.
of school
Yes. Oh my
level,
God. Yes. Yes,
a
you're reading my
mindfulness
mind.
class.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so exciting that you said that because, okay. So, one of the recent things that I did was kind of like think about like what is really like my big picture goal? Like what is my 25-year goal kind of thing? Because that really helps put things in perspective for right
That's
now.
cool.
Especially when I think about like, oh, I'm scared to post this video, like I'm scared of mean comments or something. But then I think about that 25-year goal and it's just like, it totally just helps put everything in perspective. And that 25-year goal for me is that like, I mean, right now it could change, but I'm like super passionate about the idea of like bringing life coaching into schools.
Awesome. Yes, this is great.
So I'm not sure how yet whether like, because you know how we have guidance counselors? I was wondering if maybe like, okay, there's a guidance counselor, but then there's also like a life coach, and every student gets like assigned a life coach. And so there's a life coach that
Oh
actually works at the school,
my God.
like either 3 to 4, or that life coach or another life coach teaches like a semester of like emotional education kind of thing. Where just
I'm
because,
just
okay.
screaming.
So for me, okay, like I really had no idea that my thoughts created my feelings. Like nobody told me that ever in my life, And so like when I learned that, it honestly kind of like I felt like I got hit by a truck by that, Because I was like, holy shit. So that's why I'm acting crazy, or that's why I'm like feeling this crazy stuff. It's because I'm like, thinking all these like things that aren't helping me. Anyway, so like, and I'm really sure that I'm not the only one. Like, I'm really sure a lot of
Yeah,
people
something
don't
tells
know
me,
that.
not just me.
Yeah. And so like, I remember when I learned that, like the first thing I thought of was my teenage self and how much I was like, girl, I wish I could tell you.
Oh yeah, dude. There'd be many slaps in the face to
Yeah,
myself
right?
on these things.
Yeah, and so right now I'm not sure. I feel like at least at an elementary level even. I mean, that would be great if it was that. I'm thinking right now high school, just because around high school is when you start to kind of decide some like major like decisions with your life a little bit. Yeah, but I think it would be so valuable if it was like early on. But it's just like pretty much a semester of maybe like teaching kids, like, right, the topics of, like, thoughts create your feelings, you know, and then your feelings drive your actions. And then, like, maybe just things of, like, here's some, like, techniques. I'm not sure yet. I would have to, like, yeah, like, think about it, like, see how people respond, you know? But just the thing that, like, has really helped me is, like, even if somebody just does, like, one thing every day that, like, contributes to their mental health, it's, like, the thing that you do every day is what you get good at, right? So, like, if you're just, like, I don't know, looking for all the horrible things in the world every day, then you get really, really good at just looking at things so negatively. So if there's just, like, one thing that you do every day, and if that's, like, the whole class is just teaching kids, like, pick, like, one of the many techniques you can do and just do that every day for a semester, and then, like, just show them, like, what a benefit that is. And then after that class, they can decide if they want to keep going or not, you know, keep living that way. But I would like to think that, like, so many of them will see a benefit in doing that, that they'll want to, you know, like, I want to.
Exactly. Man, I could see, gosh, Katie, I could see some TED Talks. I can see some high school talks. I can see some, like, I don't know, just like trial workshops.
Oh, at I would love that. Like, oh, my God.
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. And, and you're like, well, trust me, I know.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I mean, this is really exciting. I mean, because now this is one of the ways I think school can be improved. It's like, from now on, whenever I talk about it, whenever I think about it, I'm just like, oh, Katie's doing it. She's out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thanks, Seth. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We're helping manifest it here. Starting it out. Because have you told anyone this idea yet?
I guess I haven't really talked about it with many people, but I don't think, I don't know. I haven't thought, I only talked about it with my coach.
What are you told the world? Own...
Well, I'm sure I have a video called My 25 Year Goal that I'm going to do. So I will announce it at some point and talk about it. And I would love to get what people think, you know?
Yeah.
But, I guess I just haven't, like, brought it up with anyone else. I guess to be honest, it's because only really recently have I, like, gotten the courage to be like, I'm a life coach.
And, yeah.
And, like, actually started talking about it with people, like, openly. Because I know a lot of people think it's a fluffy, like, profession, I guess.
But I guess you can, yeah, it's an interesting view. I don't know. I obviously understand it, but I could totally see people be like, wait, what do you mean? Like, you know my life better than I do.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah,
you
yeah.
know what's good for me.
But just a misconception for any, like, to clear up a misconception. Well, I'm not sure, like, how other life coaches do it, of course, but, like, at least in the school that I'm going to, like, one of the most important, like, pillars, I guess, is that, like, we never tell, like, a client what they should do, kind of thing, right? Like, we're never like, you should go do this with your life. It's more like we just ask a lot of really good questions to help them kind of find their answers. And then also we just help them do the model. And so then they can see, like, what their thought, like, the thought that they're having is creating what result in their life and if they want that or not. And then we help them, you know, create a new thought, things like that. So, like, cause you know, right. We're like, we don't have an eight ball or not, we don't have, like, a crystal ball and we don't actually know what's best for them. Like, only the client knows what's best for them. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, so, I mean, of course we can tell them what to do in terms of, like, assignments or, like, you know, hey, do this exercise or, like, you know, you can think about things this way, but we're never like, oh, you should go pursue this. Like, you have to do this with your life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The judgment talk.
Right. Says. Exactly.
Wow. That's super dope. Thanks for, clearing that up.
Yeah.
let's see, as we are, by the way, guys, we're talking about the morning here. We're recording this episode in the morning, in the very early morning for me, for Katie. So look at this. We're changing our mornings.
Wow.
I think we've got about 10 more minutes. What is, like, because you've been listening to the show. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good.
And what is something you don't think we've, like, covered yet?
Can I say two things?
Yeah. You can absolutely say three if you want. Okay.
Awesome. If I think of a third one, I'll let you know. Okay. So, so for anybody who is also struggling with social anxiety and, like, is, like, working on that and, like, and, you know, what I want to say is, like, no, I wouldn't say that, like with all of this work, I am working on it, right? But, like, I'm still, like, I wouldn't be able to just go into a party and be able to start a conversation with anyone. Like, I would still feel uncomfortable. But I can be confident in the effort that I'm putting in. So, like, I just know, like, deep in my bones that I'm going to get there. Like, I'm going to be able to feel that comfort. And also, all this work is, because it's very uncomfortable to look at your own thoughts. It's very, like, mm-hmm. uncomfortable to work on yourself like this and take a good look at yourself. And you get really good then at being uncomfortable. And you, like, get that practice. And that's the stuff that you need to just, like, go after anything you want, right? And so that's the same for, like, going up and talking to anybody. And then the second thing I want to talk about, another thing that I feel like is something that I've, like, been able to learn that has helped so much when it comes to self-love is practicing unconditional love, which is, like, so pretty much I feel like I've been able to learn how to love, like, anybody. And what I mean by that is, like, no, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go out to dinner with everyone. And it doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to condone behavior that I don't like. But, like, but if I just, I've gotten to a place where, like, I just love every human being. Like, I think we're an incredible species. Like, mm-hmm. we've done some incredible things for ourselves. Yes, of course, there's bad stuff, quote unquote bad. Like, but remember, our brain is what decides what's good and what's bad. Mm-hmm. So there will always be bad because we have a brain that looks for the bad. And bad is just part of life. And so the way it ties in with self-love is that the fact that I've been able to, like, love anybody, even the, like, worst of people, it means that then I'm able to love the worst parts of myself. It means that if I believe that there's nothing in this world that's unforgivable, then I can forgive myself as well. And and, like, it's just, it's so liberating, and love is just such a good feeling. And okay, so I'm going to tell this story about, like, how I kind of got here. So recently I had somebody who was very cruel to me, and I don't mean cruel as in, like, they made a joke and I took it personally. Like, they were, like, being very abusive, you know, like, calling me all sorts of names under the sun. And when I was, like, going through this, I was shaking, you know, like, I was in fear because, like, this is scary stuff, right? Someone's, like, being very cruel. And I, like, kept thinking about how shitty this felt that I'm, like, shaking right now. And I just kept thinking about, like, you know, what do I want to feel instead? Like, I don't want to feel fear. This is, like, this is not helpful. This is just crappy for me right now. Like, and at one point, like, me and this person were very close. Like, you know, what I want in this moment is to feel love. I really mm-hmm. don't want to feel fear anymore. I want to feel love. And so I, like, shopped for all sorts of thoughts that I could think to find out how I can feel love in this moment. Mm-hmm. And what I came down to, and there's a lot of other ones, but, like, what I came down to is that, like, this person is in so much more pain than I am. Like, this person is the one that's really in pain here, not me. And then when I like realized that, I felt how lucky I was that I was not in that kind of pain where I wanted to hurt somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so being able to like feel love in that moment, I felt even more love, right? Because I was like, holy shit, I'm feeling love right now. What is happening? Yeah. And so like, I was like feeling love and I was like, oh my God, like if I can love this person, even in this like really like horrible experience, like I can love anything. And oh my God, like I can love myself, even all the parts that like I wasn't happy with. Mm-hmm. And it's just the most like, man, when you can get to a place where you love even the worst of people, then you can love the worst of yourself. And it's just, it's a very self-loving thing to do. It's actually a very selfish thing to do because like love is a feeling that you feel by yourself, right? Like you don't transfer love to somebody. Like someone might be able to tell your energy of love, but like love is that feeling that you feel all on your own. And so is hate. So if you're feeling hate and you choose to feel hate, then you're just enjoying that all by yourself too. So just love. It's such a good feeling. And do it for you. Don't do it for the other person. Do it for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You have to be selfish about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it helps yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That's incredible. That's a really hard thing to go through. Holy crap. But you know, look at where you are now and like the realization it's given you. And
yeah, I'm really thankful for the experience in the end. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like a muscle, right, that you exercise.
Yeah.
And so get that love muscle.
Get that love muscle pumping.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap. I definitely, just totally agree on like loving more people. Just like, I think there was, one of my realizations is like, of just through the, even the people that, you know, we consider bad or whatever, being able to see through that and like knowing that it's just like yes, they're like hurting and seeing that level, but then also being like, oh man, just like look at the greatness that is the potential that's like inside this person still, like even though it might take like maybe 5 or 10 years for them to even start tapping into it, but just like seeing that it's in there, knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So once you see that, like you can see that within yourself,
or any
area that you want to grow in.
Because I mean, like, we never look at a newborn baby and be like, ooh,
yes,
that's gonna be a bad one.
I know.
You know,
dude, yes, I think about that so much, and that helps a lot, just being like, and that's something they tell people. I'm like, you think you were born this, like, it's like, sure, people use the words like born as like you're like a flawed human or something like that, and it's like, yes, but it's like, you're not flawed though, like this is it, like you're just doing human stuff, like everything else is created around us and by humans and stuff, and then we put our own, you know, pressures and all that goodness on top of ourselves, and it's like, so you have to think back, you have to go back.
yeah for sure. Yeah. I mean, especially that potential thing, I love what you said, like being able to see someone else's potential, it just makes it so much easier to see it in yourself. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. Wow. Dang.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good. Let's see. Yes, I have to get ready to go here.
Okay.
But is there any final thoughts, anything? And of course, we can have episode 2 or a part 2 anytime. but just, for now, Got it.
I guess just, like take care of yourself pretty much. That's it. Like
Do it.
take the time to take care of yourself. It's like the best gift you can give yourself, seriously. Yeah, that's for me.
So good. Kate, thank you so
Oh my
much
God,
for
Seth, thank
joining us.
you. Thanks for letting me ramble about all
I
this stuff.
love
Like,
I freaking listening to people ramble is one of my favorite things. I
oh,
don't know if you
good.
know this. I
Oh,
don't
I didn't
know.
actually.
Well, now you know. Now you know. It's great because there's so much knowledge that I just from everyone.
So this podcast is perfect for you.
It's great. Yeah. I get to do my listening, my very active listening game. And yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
So good.
cool. Thanks
Kate,
so much for
till
letting me
next
do
time.
this. Yeah. Bye,
Absolutely.
Seth.
See you later, and best of luck with your 3 hours in the morning tomorrow.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
See
Bye.
ya.
I love hearing about what people are figuring out on their own about this stuff. It's incredible. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Check out loveamp.com for any more info on self-love. Thanks for the wonderful ratings on these podcast websites. If you could ever take the time to write a written review, that'd be awesome, because then people browsing through the podcast can be like, oh, interesting. These people have opinions about this. I like that. Yeah, so until next time, love yourself out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.